Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. The website is crosstheborder.org. Make sure you stop by there, take advantage of the resources, and more important than anything else is to email me and let me know that that you're one of the three people listening to this program. Okay, yeah, we're talking about theft and thou shalt not steal, and all of the ways that people are being stolen from today, all of the ways that that people through power and money have devised to steal and enslave people so that they can steal their life and their soul and their labor, which is all a gift from our Heavenly Father. And it's a very deep chasm when you start to even broach the subject of how what a web that people have been caught in, and how people even accept a theft as correct and right because they're so used to it. And there's, I mean, we talked about Social Security yesterday, and I pointed out how that's against the law of our Heavenly Father, and I showed you the proofs from the Scripture, and there are a lot of people caught up in that, and you know, I don't fault or condemn anybody. If you're out there collecting Social Security, I don't fault or condemn you. I took part in it because, well, someone signed up for me. Actually, I never actually signed up for Social Security, but someone signed up for me and got a number for me at one time. Though I don't have that number anymore because I would never use it. It would be hypocritical for me to sit here and say the things that I say and the things I said yesterday and said many times and then to use that number or take any benefit from it. I would never do that. I will never do it. I refuse to take any part. They can have their number. Because the truth is, no one has a Social Security number unless they believe they have a number. And there was a case down in Texas, I guess while we're on it, I'm going to tell you about this case, because I don't think I've covered it in this study yet. But there was a case of a guy who wanted to run for office, you know, get on the ballot, and I forget what local office, it doesn't matter what it was. But the application form included a spot for a Social Security number. And he refused to put down the Social Security number, so they refused his application. Well, he sued them. And he walked into court, and he proclaimed that by the definition of have, at law, that he does not have a Social Security number. Because you do not have something if you do not own it. So you have to own it. If you have something, that means you own it, you control it, you can alter it, and you can abolish it. That's what it means to have. And the truth is, even the Social Security Administration admits that you don't have a number. It is not your number. They own it. It is their number. And it is a number that they've applied to an account with a name similar to yours. So they've created this image of you that is similar to you. It has a name similar to yours. Of course, they use the all caps name, and now they do on all their documents. I've seen Social Security cards with the upper and lower case, but they've created an account with your name or a name that's similar to yours, or may not even be similar to yours. And but it's not you, and it's not yours. It's theirs, and it's an account they created for you. But, you know, what if you don't want it anymore? I mean, what if you want out of the deal? Are you required to stay in? No. You know, it gets down to a political status, basically. And your political status is in the land of the free is determined only by you. No court can tell you who you are. You proclaim who you are. And I am not one of theirs. I do not belong to them. That identifying number has nothing to do with me, and it has everything to do with them. They can do whatever they want with it. I can't change it. I can't abolish it. I can't alter it. It doesn't belong to me. So therefore, it is not mine. Now, if I believed it was mine, well, that would be my belief. And I believe that I would be worshiping an idol myself personally. Now, there are people that rely on that check, and they understand all the things that I'm saying. And they they have no other means of support, perhaps they should work on another means of support. Perhaps they should ask the Heavenly Father to provide another means of support, and perhaps He may, and perhaps He may not. I mean, you know, you're in a condition of servitude. You're in a condition of incompetence, because when you signed up for benefits, you said, I am not able to take care of myself. I need someone to take care of me. You have become like a child. You know, you have a helpless baby. You have small children. They are incompetent. They cannot take care of themselves. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Oops. No, I didn't. I got deceived into signing up and becoming a child again. You know, so, I mean, you can see what's going on here. And whatever you do, use wisdom. If you can throw it off immediately, you know, and I had a friend, and I'm not going to mention any names, and, you know, I talked to him about this, and he's working on alternate income, but then he said, no, then I would take the money, if I had enough money that I didn't need it anymore, I would take the check and give it to the Lord, because that would be the wise steward thing to do. You know, the wise steward argument, the one they always use in the corporate church as an excuse for half of the ungodly financial things they do. They use this wise steward argument. You know what? You know, that's saying that God needs the government's money. Well, God don't need the government's money. Give me a break. You know, can we do something ungodly? Can we buy obedience? You know, be obedient to the Heavenly Father? No. No, we need to work, if possible, for a way to get out of that. If we have to rely on it, if we don't have the faith to get out or the resources, or there's just no other way provided, then we just have to accept our position of being a ward or an incompetent of an image that was created by men to take care of ungodly men, or take the place of the ungodly who disobeyed the commandment of our Heavenly Father, which is expressed in the saying that any man who doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. And that's what you had. You had a lot of people out here not taking care of their own, wanting to put it off on the government, so they created this image, and they funded the image to take care of it for them. And then there you have the people that don't want to give. See, the church, and those, I mean, there's always people that fall, you know, the widows and the orphans. Well, you know, James, our brother who wrote the book of James, he said that pure religion is to take care of the widows and the orphans. You know, it's simple, just simple statement, but profound and huge at the same time. Because if you go into the law, you realize that the law required, if you had a widow, I mean, Yahshua was even asked by some scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites about this commandment, about a brother taking his deceased brother's wife, taking the widow and the orphans in, was first went to the family. Now, if there was no family, or the family refused to take the widows and the orphans in, then it was a charitable thing. But it was never to be a governmental thing. This should be a church thing. But now the church, of course, in bed with the state, they proclaim that's what the government's there for. Well, that's a lie. You know, I've heard that from a preacher, a pastor at a church I used to go to. That's what the government's there for. Well, you know, he didn't read the same Bible that I'm reading, because that's not what the government's there for. That the government is doing it is because people are disobedient to the commandments of our Heavenly Father. So we're in the mess we're in. So I'm not going to run for office, but there are some good plans out there and some better candidates who are running for office that have plans to do away with Social Security and at the same time take care of those who are dependent on it. So, and I'm all for that. You can't just cut people off and leave them out in the street. But there should be a way to reduce it and then let people rise up in charity and make up for the difference. And that's the way it should be. And those people that are on Social Security, you know what, and that's another precept of the world that goes contrary to the precept of our Heavenly Father. There's no retirement. Yes, you slow down. You can't do, you know, different types of hard labor anymore. And that's part of honoring your father and your mother and honoring the elder in your community and your family by not laying heavy burdens on them. But they do need to be active and they do need to be working in whatever kind of work they can do, even if it's instructing the young, sharing their wisdom, taking care of the babies in the family, because there is no retirement in the Heavenly Father's economy. And I'm glad. You know, here's what I see. I see men work 40 years or whatever, and they get their retirement, and then they start collecting their Social Security and their pension, and they go home and sit down in front of the TV, and within a year they're dead. Why? Because they're not doing anything. Well, now they get, you know, now you're supposed to go travel and keep yourself busy so you don't fall over dead. But no, I think the father's plan was to work 6 days and then the rest on the seventh. And then the retirement is an eternal retirement when you die. And, you know, what kind of retirement? When finally and get to enjoy the good years. You know, you're old, you're wore out, you're tired, you know, you're 60, 70, 80 years old, and things aren't just functioning just the way they used to when you were young. So, but now you get to enjoy life, you know, when everything's wore out. No, he's going to give us a new everything. That's when we get to retire. That's when we get to really enjoy, because our bodies will get that, you know, that that glorified temple, you know, that glorified body, that when we rise from the dead, when we go through the resurrection, then we'll be able to retire. Till then, you know, I'll gladly do whatever I can for his kingdom until the day I die. I will work until the day I die. But, you know, the way that they've set up society and segmented everything, that yes, people do need to be retired from some jobs at some time, but they do need some way to find some way to be a positively contributing member of society, even if it's just serving in their own family, teaching their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren how to walk in righteousness, sharing their wisdom, reading to them, you know, and, you know, there's plenty to do out there. You know, all we have to do is be obedient to our Heavenly Father day by day. Okay, that takes care of thou shalt not steal, maybe a little more than takes care of thou shalt not steal. But once I get going, it can be fun. Okay, Exodus 20. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And, yeah, you know, in some versions might say, thou shalt not lie. Yeah, you ever hear that commandment, thou shalt not lie? All liars have their part in the lake of fire. Well, I'm not a liar. Have I ever lied? Yes. But a liar, to have the title of a liar, you have to be one who practices lying. Every day, you know, it's like, you know, how do you tell when a politician is lying? They say his lips are moving. You know, if you have someone that practices lying as a routine, as a part of their life, as a part of carrying on business, well, then they are a liar. You know, that's their title, liar. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Now, we've all told a lie, but that doesn't make us liars. And whoever loves a lie and practices lying, well, you know, there's a big difference between people who love to lie and people who hate to lie. Sometimes it's necessary to lie. Sometimes lying is the right thing to do. Yes, I mean, what about, you know, Rahab and the children of Israel when she hid the spies? See, Rahab had her eyes on the creator of the universe. You know, I mean, she was supposed to be a harlot, whether she was or not. I'm not sure about that. Maybe she was pressed into prostitution through slavery, you know, through not of her own choosing. And there's a lot of that has gone on throughout history, and I would have to agree that there's much of that going on today. So to be a harlot by not having any choice, for whatever circumstances, doesn't mean you're a bad person or that you can't be a godly person, that you can't reverence the Heavenly Father. boy, can you believe I'm saying this? But it's the truth, you know. So we have Rahab, who was a harlot and probably pressed into harlotry, you know, through slavery. And but she was a godly woman, and she hid the Hebrew servants. She was looking forward to the reward that she would get from the creator of the universe. And she lied. She lied to the police. The police came around and said, "Where are they? Have you seen them?" Guess what she did? She lied. She hid them. And then we have the stories of the Nazis and when they were persecuting and putting to death however million Jews during World War II or thereabouts. And also of when Stalin, Pol Pot, there was a lot of lying going on, a lot of righteous lying going on, that people were hiding other people righteously to save their lives, and sometimes it cost them their own lives when they were found out and prosecuted for perjury. You know, some were prosecuted right on the spot by the barrel of a gun. But so there is no commandment, "Thou shalt not lie." And for anyone to say the commandment is "thou shalt not lie," well, that's a lie in itself. And even if you speak a lie ignorantly, you're still lying, though you may not be a liar. That's the difference. If you ignorantly espouse a lie, you are not a liar. But if you knowingly espouse a lie and you practice lying, then you are a liar. For me to tell you, when I know it's not true, that the commandment says "thou shalt not lie," well, that makes me a liar. And if I practice that type of lying, well, then I would be a liar. The label liar would be appropriate for me. But I'm going to tell you the truth. The commandment here says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." This is the absolute worst kind of lying there is. This is the kind of lying that our Heavenly Father holds us responsible for. This is the kind of lying that was important enough for him to include it in this passage here, which would become called the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And I'll tell you, there's a lot of bearing false witness against thy neighbor going on, especially in the land. As a matter of fact, there are professionals. That's what they do for a living. Well, let me tell you, professional liars out there, professional bearers and false witnesses against their neighbor, all of you people that are out there prosecuting people as a profession, our Heavenly Father has a very special compartment in hell for you. That's right. We read about it all the time, these prosecutors. Oh, you know, you prosecutors. Woe to you prosecutors. You know, it would be better for you if you were never born. It would be better for you if a millstone were hanged around your neck and you were tossed in the middle of the sea. It would be better for you, prosecutors who lie and bear false witness against their neighbor. You know, and you see it dramatized in some of the shows or in some of the reality TV series where you have these prosecutors come on, they fabricate evidence, bear false witness against the neighbor, and they go, "I just have a feeling, I just know it, I know it." But and it turns out in the end that it was wrong. They hype themselves into knowing it. They're liars, they lie to themselves. You know, and that's the problem with liars, is they believe their own lies. So is there an innocent liar who believes, who practices lies? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I would have no mercy on those people, and I hope my Heavenly Father has no mercy on those people, unless they repent. You know, and they have a choice. As long as they live, they have an opportunity to repent of their sin, to repent of their lying ways. Yes, they may lose their job if they stop lying. And there's a lot of people in jobs that, you know, have to practice bearing false witness against their neighbor, and police, highway patrol, prosecutors, people who work in the, you know, for the public prosecutor's office and prosecuting attorney and whatever you call these people that do all these dastardly deeds against their neighbor. Yeah, these people, they have to give up their jobs. That's right, just like the prostitute. I think the prostitute is more honorable. than these people who bear false witness against their neighbor. I know it'll be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment. It'll be more tolerable for the prostitute. It'll be more tolerable for the sodomite in the day of judgment than for these prosecutors and government servants and then paid informants who bear false witness against their neighbor. They'll have that special compartment in hell if they don't repent, and they'll deserve every bit of it because of torture and the malice and all of the ill that they work toward their neighbor will be compounded on them. Let it be a million times worse. Say amen. Hallelujah. So, do I have a... Now you're wondering, I wonder if Nicholas has an opinion about bearing false witness to his neighbor. Well, I don't have an opinion. It's just, you know, it's something that really bothers me. And I don't want to have opinions. I want the truth. You know, and that's why I study this word. Because you know what they say about opinions. And there's different sayings about it. Different degrees of how bad some of the sayings are. But, no, opinions are, you know, my opinion is that, you know, summers are nicer than winters. You know, I like summers better than winters. That's my opinion. I'll have opinions about frivolous things, but when it comes to matters of importance, matters of truth, there's no place for opinion. His word is truth. You know, in my opinion, you know, I like contemporary praise better than old-time gospel music. You know, that's an opinion. But other than that, you know, it's something that's not important. Okay, now, bearing false witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness against a neighbor. We're done with it. Finally. Aren't you glad, huh? No, I hope you enjoy my commentary, and it provokes you to think about what you're doing and bearing false witness against your neighbor. Lying. I guess we need to talk a little bit more about lying, since I said the commandment, and it may be righteous to lie. You know, our master gave us a very good maxim when it comes to our conduct, and that is to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. So if you do lie, it should harm nobody, because if it harms somebody, then you're violating your neighbor's rights. You're stealing, you know, it causes a theft. You may be stealing your neighbor's life, limb, property, freedom, whatever. And that's, you know, that goes to the bearing false witness against your neighbor and the consequences of that. But when you lie, that you should never lie to someone who has true authority, true godly authority over you. Okay? Never. Like a child should never lie to their father. That is not honor. A child should never lie to his parents. That is not honorable. That is not honoring them and breaks the commandment. Sometimes it may be necessary to lie even to someone you love. And I'll tell you what, you better really, if you're going to ever lie, you should, number one, you should hate lying. And number two, you should really search your conscience, because lying is a valuable tool in warfare. Deception. And we get to the art of deception in warfare. And the deception is like lying in warfare can be a godly thing. And a deception in war is a good thing. You know, especially if your cause is righteous. And basically, we are in a war every day out here. And it's a war against ungodly government and ungodly, unlawful statutes and judgments. And so we need to be wise. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So harm no one. Be wise in everything you do. We'll be back after a brief break here.